I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up next here on the program at 12:15, we'll play a little buy or sell, check in on the stock market, see what the money's doing, answer some questions in the world of sports. Right now, we're getting you some news from the Nest, looking at this Ravens roster as we prepare for cutdown day tomorrow. Start looking at this offense, Vinny. I think the quarterback position is pretty easy. Two quarterbacks will be kept.
That'll be
Lamar and Josh Johnson. You go to the running back room.
But let's hold on. Go back to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think they'll go to the waiver wire to get the practice squad quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't think Leary is. The problems he had in college, Cordell, turnovers.
Right.
The problems he had playing a lot Saturday, turnovers.
Yep.
And that drives Harbs crazy. And, you know, he's got a nice arm and all that, but, I mean, he's a turnover machine, even in training camp practices.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, it is 4 o'clock tomorrow. And then the thing that, you know, what happens when you cut down the players at 4 o'clock, then I think it's by noon Wednesday you can start claiming guys for your roster and put guys on the practice squad. For the Ravens, let's just say that they want to get a running back. And their pick, it's just like draft order. They're picking 30th. So they have it. If they want a running back, 29 other teams cannot claim the guy. They're going to have the right to claim the guy before the Ravens. So that's why you're seeing over the last couple of days and stuff, teams are making trades one for one.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that if there's a guy that the Ravens want, that Eric makes a trade today or tomorrow if there's somebody they want on their 53-man roster.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, with the running backs, I think as it sits right now, it'll probably only be three that's kept. That's Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, and Patrick Ricard. I think Keaton Mitchell, obviously, he'll stay on the PUP list. And Owen Wright will probably go to IR. Ali, he may be another one. I don't think I've seen him back yet.
No.
So he may be another one that's on
practice squad type guy.
Yeah, for sure.
And Cordell, like, I liked him. I liked some of the things I saw at camp. Then the first preseason game, I mean, his kickoff, he fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been his history in college, was fumbling. And then he dropped a pass, too, which he had, you know, he showed really nice hands in training camp. So right then I was like, you know, he's not ready, or kind of just shows he's just kind of a guy right now. I think you cut him and you put him on the practice squad.
Let's go to the wide receivers. In my mind, I see six right now. I see six yep. wide receivers. That's Hardy, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Nelson Aguilar, Tylan Wallace, and Devontae Walker.
Yeah, I tend to agree. If I don't have to do the returns, I'm doing Anthony Miller instead of Hardy,
mm-hmm.
would be my sixth. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what they do there with that. You know, but I tend to agree with you. Walker's probably, unless somebody gets hurt or whatever, and Walker's ribs are, I don't see him being active
no.
probably the first couple weeks.
Yeah. On to the tight ends. I think they keep three. The obvious ones, Isaiah Likely, Charlie Kohler, Mark Andrews. I think in a perfect world,
I think they add like a fourth.
You think they keep four of them? I think,
well,
Ricard serves,
I think
as that.
The fourth is going to be
an external one.
If they can find a blocking tight end. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think they keep three.
Mm-hmm.
Ishmael will be practice squad type.
Right.
I mean, Cordell, he was a receiver at Villanova. He was a quarterback in high school. And to go be a tight end that can block and stuff, his blocking is like stock blocking, like a wide receiver blocking. Mm-hmm. So he needs to get bigger. I guess he said he wants to gain 10 more pounds. So, like, if I think it gives him a chance to learn the position more, get bigger, go get in the weight room and lift and get strength. And then, you know what, a year from now, may have a chance. Or if somebody gets hurt, we know he can catch it. I just wish when he would catch some of them, Cordell, he's not down on his knees. Right. Because he's got run ability after the catch. And that's probably a confidence thing. You want to secure the catch first.
Yeah, it's definitely a work in progress right now. But I do think they like him, and I think in a perfect world they'd like to keep him on the practice squad.
He's got yak ability,
right? To the offensive line, I feel like they could possibly get 9 out of this. I'm looking at Stanley, Faalele, Voorhees, Sala, Rosengarten, Cleveland, Makari, Linderbaum, and it's kind of a toss-up for me. I'm leaning Samick, but
how long is he going to be out?
That I don't know, you know. And where does he start? Maybe he's another guy that they can maybe put on short-term IR or something like that. But I don't know what his deal is completely right now. But between him and Manning, maybe I could see them being able to squeeze 9 out of that group.
Josh Jones,
I think he's gone, but we'll see. But I mean, it's been more negative than positive for him.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, you really feel good about six mm-hmm. of them or so, you know? I mean, that's every team. Every team's the same way. They got O-line issues, and you figure, all right, can I get a guy on the waiver wire? The only way you'd get a guy on the waiver wire, Cordell, in my mind, is because is there somebody that our scouts think is better than our ninth guy? Does it improve our ninth guy? Does it improve our eighth guy? If the case, then swap them out. But otherwise, you know, doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm guessing that there won't be a lot of movement there.
Coming up later on in the show, we'll look at the defensive side of the ball, try to figure out who makes this 53-man roster on that side. But next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll play a little buy or sell, check in on the stock market, answer some questions in the world of sports. That's next here on the Fan.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Playing a little buy or sell. Vinny, how's the stock market looking?
The market's a little red today, Cordell. Other than the Dow's up 43. The S&P is down 19. NASDAQ is down 166. DraftKings down 58 cents. Under Armour's down 7 cents today.
As far as our sports topics, we'll start here in Major League Baseball. Every year across MLB, there's always going to be a few teams who go from losing records the year prior to making the playoffs. Last year, the Rangers, Marlins, Twins, and Diamondbacks, you had a collection of four there that all accomplished that feat. This year, the Guardians look like they're destined to do it, possibly the Royals as well. But which losers from this year are in line for a rebound in 2025? How about the Nationals, a scrappy team that's given Baltimore plenty of trouble this year? They won 71 games last season, currently on pace to at least match that again this year. Plenty of young talent, but Cordell, are you buying or selling that they're in line to make that next big step in 2025?
A lot has to I'll sell it right now. I think that there'll be a fringe wild card type of team, and what happens in this offseason will loom large. I think it's a long shot, but I'd love to see Juan Soto go back to Washington. I honestly would. I don't think Juan really wanted to leave. He didn't want to turn down that almost $500 million contract, but Scott Boras has other plans. Juan, to this date still, I think, cares about that team that he won the World Series with. So, depending on, I do think they're a splash move away. They're still so young, but they're going to be one of those teams, maybe how the Orioles were 2 years ago, just on the outside looking in, unless they make a big splash this offseason.
Over to the NFL, the Bills, they've boasted one of the league's best defenses the past 3 years, and the pass rush unit has been a big part of that success. Of course, Von Miller, he's your flashy name there, but even after injuries, still a flashy name, but the performance of Gregory Rousseau, since being drafted back in 2021, he's been the key as well. Posted a career-high 8 sacks in 2022, had just 5 last year, and maybe his success has come from playing alongside other great players, but even he would admit that he hasn't arrived yet. That was a quote from him a couple weeks ago. Buy or sell here, Vinny. Rousseau will blossom into a double-digit sack guy this season.
Von Miller's much healthier this year than he was last, which will help Rousseau. So I'll buy it. I'll buy it. And they're going to need him to.
Back to baseball here. And the Orioles in particular, they've had some great individual power seasons throughout their franchise history. Go back to 1996, the duo of Brady Anderson and Rafael Palmeiro combined for 89 home runs, 50 for Brady, Palmeiro with 39. That's a tough number to beat there, 89. But in the 2010s, the O's actually had a few duos that came close. Adam Jones and Chris Davis combined for 86 in 2013. Davis and Manny Machado for 85 in 2016, which leads me to this year. Anthony Santander and Gunnar Henderson currently sitting at 71 as a duo, 30 games left to play in the season. Buy or sell, Cordell, this year's duo will at least join that 85-plus club.
And you said they're where right now?
71. 30 games left to play.
I'll sell it. I think Santander will continue to carry his weight in the power. I just don't know if Gunnar will get back to hitting a home run on a regular basis. I think Santander will, but it doesn't seem like Gunnar, that's where he is offensively right now. Still can get on base more times than not, still give you a really good at bat, but I just don't really see the ball flying out of the yard from him the way that we did earlier in the season.
And we'll get this last one here before Nate Davis joins us to talk some NFL. Talking Ravens here, just a few years in, already looks like Eric DaCosta nailed the 2022 draft, or at least the first round. Two studs coming out of it, Tyler Linderbaum, Kyle Hamilton. Both will be eligible for extensions after this season is finished, and it appears that keeping both would be a top priority for the front office. How much will they cost? Well, there's a few recent extensions around the league that could provide some framework. Talking about Creed Humphrey there in Kansas City, Antoine Winfield Jr. in Tampa Bay. Both reset the market at their respective positions. $21 million a year going to Winfield, $18 million a year for Humphrey. Buy or sell, Vinny, keeping both Linderbaum and Hamilton will not be financially realistic for the Ravens.
I'll sell that. I think two building blocks, two guys you got to pay, and you're kind of fortunate that it's at two positions that are not as expensive as others are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we're talking about quarterback wide receiver combination, then that would be probably a different story. But yeah, I agree. I think they'll be able to keep both of their young studs, and I can't imagine them not. You know, you
can Pro Bowlers.
I can't imagine life without Kyle Hamilton in Baltimore at this stage, and same for Tyler Linderbaum right now, especially with the way that this offensive line is situated.
Well, hadn't Eric said, I don't like giving away good players.
Right. Yeah. And this will be a case where I would imagine he won't have to if he wants to keep both of these guys. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney. We'll bring in Nate Davis from USA Today, talk some NFL with him. 2 weeks away from the NFL season at this point. Well, actually a week, I should say, a week and a half. It's next Thursday, man. It's
week
coming.
From Thursday.
I can't wait.
We'll be at the Green Turtle in Towson.
Yeah, so a lot going on, a lot to talk about. Roster cut down tomorrow. We'll talk to Nate Davis about all things NFL next here on The Fan. Football is upon us. Perfect time to bring in Nate Davis from USA Today. Nate, what's going on?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Not bad. Not bad at all. And Jamar, we're seeing a couple of these wide receivers, most named Jamar Chase and CeeDee Lamb out in Dallas. These guys have been holding out, looking for their new contract extension. Looks like Jamar Chase rejoined Cincinnati at practice yesterday. Could we see both of these guys on the field in week one, or maybe one of these guys takes it into the season?
Yeah, I expect CeeDee Lamb is probably going to get resolved here pretty shortly. My sense is he's probably not going to be on the field until his deal gets done. Jamar Chase, I think coming back to practice, the other day was a big deal. But, he's also in a different situation than CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk and Justin Jefferson previously, where he's got 2 years left on his rookie deal, where those guys were all entering the final year. And I think the Bengals owner, Mike Brown, I think he's been pretty staunch. And just given his historical approach, I'm guessing he's not going to really be looking to redo that deal until next year. But, we'll see if Jamar tries to force his hand. But, his situation is a little different and probably would set a precedent that on owners wouldn't want to see for that position.
Nate, what are you thinking about the AFC North? I mean, you got Burrow. This is the first time ever that he's made it through training camp healthy, so that could be kind of scary. Then you got Lamar, who was the MVP last year, and then you got, in Pittsburgh, and we're hoping that Deshaun is the same guy he was in Houston, is what they want.
Yeah, Vinny, it seems like there's kind of a range of outcomes and variants here. I had the whole division, finishing above 500 a year ago at this time, and people told me I was crazy. Look what happened, and now you're basically adding Joe Burrow back into that mix after he missed the second half of the season. So I kind of like Cincinnati going into this season. The off-field stuff has been a little concerning, including, Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins obviously aren't thrilled with their contract situations in addition to Chase. But, we know what that team can do. It's amazing to think that Cleveland almost won this division using five quarterbacks last year, but certainly Deshaun Watson's got to show that he's ready to take the reins of this offense and that it can work with them. It's time to put the pedal to the metal there. I think the Steelers could be a better team than they were last year. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that it reflected in the win-loss record for them. And then the Ravens, we'll see. I have a little suspicion with the Ravens that I think they might regress a bit. I am kind of curious how well Henry and Lamar are going to – I do worry that this might be a Nick Chubb, Deshaun Watson situation where you might have two guys that aren't necessarily in schematic sync with what they like to do. And then you throw in, the offensive line changeover, and obviously, yesterday's tragic news. That's going to be obviously a real focal point of Baltimore. But I kind of think that they might kind of take a step back to 11 or 10 wins. And I think they're kind of closer to that than really challenging Kansas City this year.
We're talking to Nate Davis from the USA Today. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Nate, we got to see the Patriots on the field last night on Sunday Night Football. They're still trying to figure out their quarterback situation. I saw Jerron Mayo, head coach for the Patriots, say that Drake May has outplayed Jacoby Brissett to this point. I think we've all seen that, but he's saying that's not the only determining factor. Who do you see winning that quarterback battle out in New England?
Assuming Jacoby Brissett's injury last night, wasn't worse than it looked. I tend to think you start out with him. I just don't know that you're putting Drake May in a situation where he's set up to succeed there, given, you compare the supporting cast around him to what's going to be around Caleb Williams or even Jade Daniels. I just think you're kind of running the risk of maybe ruining a guy if he's not ready for this, from the blocking to the weapons that they have there. If you look at the Patriots' early schedule, there's some really tough defenses on there. So, I know they're not trying to portray that they would throw Jacoby Brissett to the Wolves, but I mean, you know, I think I'm guessing he's going to be out there for the early part of the season, and then depending on how Drake continues to progress in practice, you know, maybe we'll see him at some point, but I highly doubt he's going to be starting the entire season.
Hey, Nate, looking at the NFC North, I mean, Green Bay, I mean, we saw them against the Ravens the other day, and then in the practices, they look good. Detroit, they're good too. And I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Bears watching, you know, Hard Knocks and stuff, and then I think the Vikings will pull up the rear. What do you think?
Hey, I'm pretty much with you. I've got those first three teams making the playoffs this year. The Bears probably kind of as a seventh seed in that 9 or 10 win category. I mean they were a 7-win team last year, mm-hmm. finished really strong, and clearly didn't have Caleb Williams there or several of the other guys that they brought in either via draft, free agency, trade. So this ought to be a good team. You know, even if Caleb Williams doesn't need to be C.J. Stroud, I think for them to be. In wild card contention. And then the other two are going to be, you know, Packers and Lions are going to be, I think, one of the most fun races to watch this year, assuming both teams stay healthy. I mean, we saw them both take the 49ers down to the wire on the road in the playoffs last year. But I really kind of think Green Bay might be the one that's got the most room for upward mobility. They've got all those first-rounders on defense. It really has, you know, the whole has kind of been less than the sum of the parts, and I'm really curious what their new coordinator, Jeff Hafley, can do to maybe get more out of that side of the ball. And if he does, I mean, I think the Packers, I think, can make a Super Bowl.
Nate, out in the AFC West, I think we all think that Kansas City is obviously head and shoulders better than the other three teams in that division. If there is going to be a team in the AFC West that gives the Chiefs a run for their money, who would that be?
I'm kind of with you. I'm not sure anybody's gonna give them that hard run, unless they have some real, you know, unforeseen issues there in Kansas City that we're not seeing right now. But I guess you would probably say the Chargers, just based on Jim Harbaugh's track record in the NFL, you know, the way he turned around the 49ers. I think a 7-win turnaround when he took them over in 2011. I mean, I'm not sure that team is really ready to do that. They'd probably be my choice. But I got to say, I was really impressed watching the Broncos, not this weekend, but the previous weekend, just how well Bo Nix was running that offense. And it was really kind of a reminder of what Sean Payton can do when the quarterback is performing the way he wants to. So I think the Broncos are maybe one of those teams I've underrated a little bit going into training camp. And I think they might be a little better than I thought maybe a month ago.
Nate, you think it's Jets and Dolphins in the East?
I mean, I think the Jets are the best team in the East, Vinny. I mean, I think, you know, I keep equating them to a hockey team that was playing shorthanded the last 2 years, and they still managed to win 14 games. You know, second-ranked defense over the last 2 years, yet it's always on the field, never staked to a lead. I mean, that's really remarkable stuff. You know, we know about the weapons they've got on offense. I think if Aaron Rodgers plays well, and I don't think he needs to play at his MVP level, that this team could really go a long way, given everything they have in place there, you know, provided that the Jets things don't happen to them as they seem to do. And I still think I like Buffalo a little more than Miami. I'm concerned with the way Miami has faded the last 2 years. I think they've got some real issues in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And you know, for a team that's had some real fades, you look at the second half of their schedule this year, it's not pretty at all.
Nate, what about Tampa Bay? Last year, they were one of the surprise teams. Baker Mayfield, he has a really good season, finds some stability, gets a nice contract. Mike Evans gets paid this offseason as well. Doesn't feel like a lot of people feel like the Bucs can repeat their success from last year. Where are you on Tampa Bay?
Yeah, they deserve a little more love and attention, I think. I mean, you know, they've won the division 3 years in a row. And you go back to the fourth year when they won the Super Bowl as a wild card. That being said, I mean, it is still the NFC South. I think the Bucs are like 18 or 19 and 20 over the last 2 years. I mean, they're below 500 in total, but they have those two division titles. It kind of tells you, you know, what they're dealing with. And I mean, kudos to them for kind of re-signing all their key guys and getting a lot of them under contract. Wirfs, you know, Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, Antoine Winfield. But They're really kind of banking that the continuity is going to continue to propel them because they haven't really added a whole lot beyond that. Whereas for me, a team like Atlanta had, you know, and they had been close these last couple of years. You bring in Kirk Cousins, and then these late training camp moves for Judon and Justin Simmons. I personally really look at Atlanta as kind of separating themselves these last couple of weeks. But I already kind of thought that to me they were kind of the favorite in that division. But you know, count the Bucks out at your peril, because certainly you know they've done the job the last couple of years, regardless of what you think of that division.
Now, Nate, the AFC South, I think that's going to be a really interesting one. Now, Houston's kind of, they've built their team up. They've got a tough schedule. And then Indy's going to be interesting to see with Richardson. And then Jacksonville, I mean, Lawrence got paid, so we'll see how they do. But, I mean, they started out good last year. What do you think about that division?
Yeah, I think that's a really fascinating one, Vinny. I mean, I think everyone is kind of focused on the Texans, and understandably so, given the big jump last year and then all the moves they made in the offseason. I do worry that sometimes when you're one of those teams that makes all the moves in the offseason, the chemistry doesn't necessarily come together right away. So I've got some concerns there. You know, you mentioned the first-place schedule. But I think what people forget is though Houston did win the AFC South last year, they won it on the last day of the season, and both the Colts and the Jaguars were in the position to do the same thing. So both those teams finished the game back. You know, we all thought a year ago at this time that the Jags were going to own that division for the next couple of years. And the Colts, you know, almost make the playoffs, even though they had Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson, I think, on the field together for like four snaps or something last year. I think that the Colts are the team to watch there, given how well Shane Steichen designs offense. I'm kind of looking at them, and I think the Texans might be a candidate to come back to the pack a little bit.
Nate, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon, and we'll talk again down the line with the season right around the corner.
Thanks, Nate.
Thank you, fellas.
Yep.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Orioles. Orioles, they split the four-game set with the Houston Astros. We'll get back to talking some Orioles baseball next here on The Fan. Orioles fall to the Astros 6-3, losing the finale of the four-game set last night. They did split the series. You heard the back-to-back homers from Alex Bregman, Yandy Diaz, both of them off of Burt Smith, who ended up taking the loss last night. Only two hits he gave up, but they were both long balls.
Oh, boy, were they ever.
And it really flipped the game because, you know, the Orioles, it came back. Really, the offense was non-existent all game. Only two hits. The Ramon Urias three-run shot was a huge boost. It tied the game. But really, outside of that, they didn't have anything else going offensively. And we can beat up Burt Smith all we want, but ultimately, two hits isn't going to get it done. Scoring three runs, that's not going to get it done. And it's a shame because it came on a night where Dean Kramer, I thought, mm-hmm. pitched well enough for them to get a win against a tough Astros lineup.
I totally agree. I thought Kramer was not bad throughout. I mean, he gave up three runs, but thought he held in there pretty good. But you're not going to win any games with two hits. I mean, it is what it is. I'm sure that's probably what Hyder said after is, you know, he's still concerned big time about the bats. You got too many talented people that are struggling, mm-hmm. and they seem to be all struggling at the same time. What do you think, Norm?
Well, I thought Dean Kramer was pretty solid, to be honest with you. I wasn't really grading him on a curve either. You know, when you give up three runs in the first four innings, still managed to keep that pitch count in check and end up lasting six. I mean, what more could you ask for if you're the Orioles? Especially given the way the entire pitching staff has been performing as of late. So, yeah, it is disappointing to kind of waste a quality start from Dean Kramer, but maybe that's a sign, again, of him starting to turn things on here in his second half, where we've mentioned it time and time again. He traditionally pitches his best baseball in the month of August and then into September as well. And I would argue this year, more than years past, they need him to pitch at his peak more than they have in the past, where, you know, maybe he was the fourth guy or third at best in years past. Now, because of injuries, he's being asked to do even more.
Yeah, it's all hands on deck right now. And what makes it even at least feel more dire is the fact that your ace isn't pitching at his best right now. So really, I mean, good. And got to give a shout out to Albert Suarez, who yet again over the weekend does what he's been doing all year for them, just being consistent, being there for them again. Looked great on over the weekend. And it's like anybody that is in this rotation that's an able body right now, you need them to give them all that they have as much as they can. I thought Kay Povich, obviously it wasn't a banner day for him. 5 innings, 8 hits given up, 5 earned runs. He had the 2 home runs given up also. But they kind of got to just continue to throw him out there because it's literally no other options left right now.
Well, Eflin will be back soon, correct?
Right. As soon as his, well, again, this isn't, 100%, but the growing sentiment or theory is that as soon as his 15 days are up on the IL, he'll be ready to go. No need for a rehab start or anything like that. He'll step right back in. Whereas a Grayson Rodriguez, he may need a little bit more of a runway before he comes back.
Yeah, the sooner the better for these guys. And it does seem like at least Eflin is optimistic. And I guess the club is echoing that as well. But the sooner these guys can get back, the better it'll be because they need any able arm on the mound for them. But again, it's not going to matter what these pitchers are doing if the offense isn't carrying their part of the workload. And I just think that the pitching kind of is what it is. There is room for the pitching to improve, but how much, I don't know. I don't think their pitching will get to the point to where we're talking about it being one of the pillars of this team for this season right now, just because of where they are health wise. But offensively, that's supposed to be what they're leaning on, and you can't trust the offense right now. As good as these players are, as talented as they are, they're not showing it on a consistent basis when they're at the plate. I mean, too many strikeouts, too many guys just swinging at anything. And yeah, there have been some questionable calls from the umpires in all these games, but it's happening everywhere. It's a part of the game, and they've got to adjust to that. But it's too many times we're going through this lineup and we're seeing, 9 strikeouts for them the other day, and that was in the win last night. They had the 7. It's either boom or bust for this offense right now, and it's been more, on the latter side here as of late.
Well, the thing that hurts is when you're not hitting, it really puts the pressure on your pitching because every pitch has got to be perfect, and there's no room for error. That's the problem. And your pitching staff right now is not good enough to handle that. That's the biggest problem they got is, the pitching. You're asking the pitching staff to be all number one starters because your bats are only getting a couple hits. So it's that's why the inconsistencies.
And it's still a flawed team.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they'll ever be able to fully correct all the issues they have before the season's done. So it's just a matter of, how many holes can you plug before the postseason arrives? How many guys can you get back from injury? That sort of thing. But look at a game like Saturday. Pitching was outstanding. Gives up 2 runs. You get the good start. Bullpen does their job. I mean, how many times have we been able to say that just since the All-Star break alone, where you got a good start and a clean day from all your relievers altogether? That's been a rarity. So when you're presented with an opportunity like that, the offense simply has to come through. And there's been times here in the second half where that just hasn't been the case. That's what's killing them. So the bullpen's still going to have their faults. Birch Smith, case in point yesterday, he'll have a good outing. He'll go right back to giving up 2 home runs. You could say the same thing about any of these guys. Cano, Perez, Dominguez, they're all the same, really. So when the stars align, you got to capitalize on it.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some NFL lunch, see what's going on around the league. Chiefs bring back a familiar face to their receiving core, Nick Chubb. We'll see what the start of the season looks like for him as well. And we got a couple of trades. That's next here on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.